Thank you, Vinton, for leading us in those songs. If you'll open your Bibles tonight to the 139th Psalm, that's where we're going to be. We've come to the third of the qualities that are mentioned in this particular Psalm of God. One of the greatest displays of power, and we've all seen God's power displayed in nature in a variety of ways, and I love the ocean. And I love seeing the waves crashing on rocks. You can have your beaches in Florida. I'd rather go to a rugged coast with rocks and crags and just see the beauty of the waves crashing like that. There was a place out on the north side of the Shannon Estuary, and we went out there. And after North Atlantic storms, the ocean would just be churning. And there was a place called Loop Head, and we could go out and sit on those rocks. And we were about 300 feet above the water, and massive rocks and crags all down. And the rollers coming in on the North Atlantic were so large, they were as big as houses, big, massive waves. And when they would hit against those rocks, there was a concussion that sounded like a bomb going off. It just is big, boom, and the spray would fly all the way up and reach us where we were sitting up on top of the cliff edge. And I could sit and watch for hours that display, the awesome display of the power of God in His majesty there at the ocean side. None of us have ever really seen God's raw power in its fullness. We wouldn't survive were we to see it like that. One of the most ancient names recorded in Scripture for God is His self-revelation as El Shaddai. That means God Almighty, describing this all-powerful, omnipotent Father. We, this morning, looked at names out of Genesis 17, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but there at the very beginning of that chapter in Genesis 17:1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. That word that's translated God Almighty is El Shaddai, the God who is all-powerful. And so one of the earliest ways that the Hebrews came to know of God was God in this unbelievably powerful state. That name is used of God 56 times in Scripture, El Shaddai, God Almighty. This characteristic of God that we call omnipotence was used by John in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, and describes the all-powerful God. And incidentally, that's the characteristic that inspired Handel whenever he composed the Hallelujah Chorus. And he included that quality of God in one of those lines in that chorus. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Remember that line in the Hallelujah chorus? Celebrating this quality of God. Now, because we are incapable of really comprehending the idea of omnipotence, it's best understood by way of contrast. When something's too big for my head, it helps me to say, well, look at this side of the equation and you can maybe understand it more clearly. Let me talk about our strength versus God's strength. Our strength is a derived strength. Do we all understand that? I do not possess strength in and of myself. My body doesn't just manufacture strength out of nothingness. I run on fuel. And you do too. I run on food and drink. And if I miss too many meals, my strength is depleted and eventually will waste away into nothingness. The great hydroelectric dams that produce the electricity that allow us to sit in this lighted auditorium are powered by water that move through the great turbines that generate the electricity. It's a derived power. Furnaces that heat our homes by gas and electricity get that through derived power. There's a coal plant that we see the coal cars coming in, but it requires fuel in order to produce that kind of power. That's how we are. God needs no fuel. His power and His strength are completely self-contained. Now, human power also not only needs fuel, but it is depleted in a variety of ways. It runs down. Batteries will eventually lose their power. We grow tired. And by the end of the day, we all go home and we go to bed and we've got to recharge our batteries. We can't just keep going because of this depletion of power. Even the most fit among us see depletion. Marathon runners run out of steam at the end of that long race. In contrast, God is described as one who is never depleted. He doesn't need fuel, and He never runs out of energy. In Isaiah chapter 40, listen to this passage. The last part of chapter 40, the question is asked, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." That's the God that we serve, and He promises to one day give us that same quality of being able to go without depletion of our energies and weaknesses that are consequent to that. Not only does God never, ever grow tired, He is the source of all the power in this world and yet never loses any of His power while dispensing incredible power. He is the source of all the power in the universe, and yet He is never diminished in His own power. When God exercises His power, He does so effortlessly. Now, on rare occasions, I find myself in the gym at the YMCA down here on Republic Road, and I see guys that are really strong, and they are expending power in lifting these weights, but they don't do it effortlessly. They make all kinds of weird noises, and they grunt and they groan as they're out there pressing the weights and the bars. We often, in our lives, will bite off more than we can chew. And we pay the price, and we get stressed out, and we become fatigued. God is able to complete the most extensive projects effortlessly. Never a groan, never a moan, never a strain. Isaiah 46:10 says, "I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." Is there anybody who's ever been able to say that on a human level? I can do anything I want to do. Why, of course not. We can hardly do a very short list of things that we want to do without exhaustion setting in. Because God has absolute power, there is absolutely nothing He cannot tackle, nothing He cannot take on and do. And Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases." Now, that kind of power, were it to reside in any human, would probably be a little bit frightening. Someone that had that much energy and that much power, and they could go and do and never stop, and there's nothing too big that they can't conquer. There have been a few people that have approached that, at least on human terms. There was a guy named Napoleon that had that kind of resource and energy and power, and he pretty much took over a big part of the world. There was another guy named Hitler that had that kind of stamina and charisma, and we all know the old saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Humans that have that ability tend to use it in a selfish way. God never once has ever used His incredible power, that almighty nature of His. Never once has He ever used it selfishly or ruthlessly. He is a loving, sacrificial, benevolent, blessing, serving God. Now, there are several areas in which we're able to catch a glimpse of this incredible power. It's seen in creation. If you go to the ocean, like I mentioned at the outset, you can see that. In Psalm chapter 33, in verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." And so tonight, when you look up at the stars, you know, I'm afraid sometimes we live in the city and we never even pause to look above our heads at the magnificence of the power of God and his creative ability. By the breath of his mouth, he spoke all those stars into existence. Isaiah 44:24, "I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out. Can someone get me a drink of water? Thanks. Here is a demonstration of human frailty. I've just about lost my voice. Isaiah 44:24, "I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself." And God's power is greater than anything that he's even made. We see these things as a small demonstration of what God has done, but what he creates, he also maintains. And he constantly sustains all of these things. We recognize the ongoing need for maintenance in our homes. Thank you, Mike. You know, it's one thing to build a house. It's another thing entirely to keep that house maintained. And it's an ongoing issue to keep everything organized. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 of Jesus, the writer says, "He sustains all things by his powerful word." And in Colossians 1:17, Paul says, "In him all things held together." So not only does God speak these things into being, but he is constantly maintaining everything we see. We call it the law of gravity, but God is the one who maintains that law. He maintains the distance between the earth and the sun. He maintains the distance between the moon and the earth and all the orbits of the planets. When this doesn't just happen, God is the principle of cohesion in all these matters, because God maintains the universe in such an orderly fashion, scientists are able to observe the regularity of these things and to discover what they call the laws of nature. But these are really not laws of nature at all. We observe around us the power of nature, but we talk about it as if it's some unconnected entity. You know, some abstract force out there. But in reality, it's the power of God. He is the one who is continuing to do all this. It's like the whole universe is a puppet on a string, and God is the puppeteer, and he's manipulating all of these things and keeping them flowing and moving in this way. We talk about Mother Nature, and there's no greater misnomer than that. It's Father God who is responsible for all these wonders we observe. We marvel at the great places we go, like Yosemite or Niagara Falls. Excuse me. But that's really the raw power of God that's on display. And we stand in awe as we see lightning storms and as we see nature. But all these things are the might of an almighty, all-powerful God, El Shaddai, omnipotence on display. Now, one area that we see God's power in that sometimes we don't take enough time to notice is in the area of our salvation. There was no opposition to God when He spoke the world into being. Satan wasn't there fighting Him to try to stop that process. But in salvation, God fought a running battle with Satan. The devil had to be subdued. Death had to be overcome. Sin had to be dealt with in a just way. And just as God created the world and sustains it, He recreates us in our new birth and sustains us through His Spirit. In Philippians 1:6, Paul writes, "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And to the one who says, you know, I'm just not good enough to be a Christian, or I could never be strong enough to live the Christian life, God says, I am good enough, and I am strong enough, I am all-powerful, and He's the one who will see us through. And God makes His power available to us through His Holy Spirit. In Jude, verse 24, we read, "To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory." He's the one who brings about our salvation. That's why Paul wrote what he did in Philippians 4. "I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." Now, here in the 139th Psalm, as David looks at the incredible power of God, I find it really interesting because he doesn't look, here at least, at the raw display of God's power. He looks at the inmost, intricate moment in which life is conceived. You want to see power? Then create human life. That is power. That is incredible power. And so David writes here in verse 13, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." God demonstrates His creative power not only back in Genesis 1, but He demonstrates it every time a child is conceived, every time a baby is born. And one day we'll demonstrate that power in an even more incredible way by raising from the dead all those that He initially created. I had a preaching class one time, and they told us, they said, you know, it's a whole lot harder in any church to try to go out and find people who've fallen away and bring them back, although we should do that. They said, it's a whole lot harder to do that than it is to teach someone at the beginning. And that professor said, it's easier to have a baby than it is to raise the dead. And in many ways, that's true. But God is not only capable of producing life initially, He is able to bring back from the dust of that grave the body that has gone before. That's the power of the one that we serve. And it's the same power that's available to us today. In Ephesians 1:19, Paul wrote of His incomparably great power for those of us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That's the power we have. Resurrection power, Paul calls it. And God will exercise the same power one day that He exercised with Jesus when He brought Him forth from the grave, never to die again. in John 5, verses 28 and 29, he spoke and said, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." In one vast, amazing display of raw power, that voice will speak, and we will be participants in that. Whether we're alive or whether we're dead, we will be participants, and we will obey that command and come out from the grave. Now, that will be the final amazing display of the almighty nature of our God. As having created us initially, He'll bring us all alive simultaneously as we step out of that grave and as we rise, those who are faithful to Him, rise to meet Him in the air on that day. I can't wait to see the God who we read about in part and can only see in part in His full power and His full glory on that occasion. Are you ready for that day to come? Those are the words we sing. If we can assist you tonight in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing this song.